We've been reading Paul, who's been saying that Jesus is coming. We are waiting in anticipation for the return of Jesus. Paul says to do three things as we wait. We're going to see those three things today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Well, now you got me curious because, you know, we don't really study ahead. I mean, you do to get this little intro hook thing, but
yeah.
So I don't even know what those three things are myself.
Did I hook you in?
Yeah.
I did my job then, Dad.
I'm interested. Yeah, you did your job. Well, you are listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And you want to get started, Junior, in verse 1. We got a lot of verses this time, so let's get started.
Okay. Now, concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brother, this meaning the return of Jesus will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them, and as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape.
You know, I got to say this. There was a book back in the 70s. It was a movie, a Christian movie. It was very, very early days of Christian movies, and the acting was really bad. But I tell you what, it got a hold of me at my heart. It was the book form, where I think they put the transcript of movie or something in printed material. I had the book. I didn't see the movie when I was young. Somebody gave me this book when I was 17 years old, and it was right around the time when I'd first heard the gospel and was considering this. And the name of the book was Thief in the Night.
Okay.
And it was about Jesus' return.
That wasn't the Jerry Jenkins book.
No. That stuff came, that whole series
came
of
later.
Books came later, okay. Yeah. That was in the late 90s, early 2000s, okay. I think. But this was back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, what I talked about one time in a sermon, and so one of our women's small groups, they all ordered the book, and they just thought it was hilarious the way it looked so 70-ish on the cover, you know,
it really did. Yeah.
But then they wound up doing the book as a group.
That's cool. So verse 4 says, "But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief, for you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night, so be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through the Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us, that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing."
That's really cool in verse 8, where he talks about the helmet of the confidence of our salvation, knowing that you're saved, that this is something we can know. We don't have to wonder. We can know before we die whether or not we have Christ and are going to heaven.
Yeah.
And he refers to that as the helmet. That's actually the same terminology that he uses when he wrote in Ephesians about the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God.
Yeah. Dear brother, this is verse 12. "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other." I think that whole idea of like living peacefully is like the best way to show honor to leaders.
Exactly.
Along.
Yeah.
"Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Mm. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people."
Now,
here's
so
the
good.
Three things. You ready?
Yep.
"Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus."
Wow. That is so cool. I actually have this highlighted here in my Bible as those three things. But God's will for you is that you always be joyful, and you have a choice.
Yeah.
You can choose joy.
That's right.
Never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances, even difficult circumstances. It's not that you're thankful for those difficult circumstances, but you have other things to be thankful for even when you're facing difficult times.
Well, I remember, Dad, you taught me something a while back that you know, you start your day in prayer. I don't know if you remember this, but you'd said, you know, your morning prayer, you don't necessarily have to say amen.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be praying throughout the whole day. And so it's just kind of a reminder to yourself of, well, I'm going to continue on with my day, getting ready, but also I'm going to be talking to you a lot, so I'm going to keep this open.
Right. In reality, what a lot of people don't even realize what amen means, it means I agree. So I don't know that it's even an appropriate thing for us in our prayer time to be saying amen. It's like a signal to stop. It actually, what was understood, I think, by the early Christians and even in Judaism, that the amen was for the congregation to say, at the conclusion of someone else's prayer because they are agreeing with it. Now, I do think that when it comes to public prayer, the person, you know, they don't know that it's done until there's an amen.
Right.
But I actually teach our worship people that when they're praying during worship, to not say amen, because I want it to flow from the prayer right into the next song. We're talking to God all through the whole thing.
That's right. I went too long, Dad. I apologize.
Oh, were we at
verse 19? I only left nine verses.
Yeah, but I was doing a lot of talking, so that works out really well. Verse 19, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. And how do we stifle the Holy Spirit? We're not letting him work in our lives.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He convicts us and we ignore it.
Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Man, that is so good there. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy, again, set apart, unique in every way, not just fitting with the rest of the world, but holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss. I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Yeah.
Man, awesome book. And we'll pick it back up again tomorrow. We get into chapter one.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's right.
Well, we've got,
we got a proverb.
Oh, proverb. Yeah. Yes. I guess we do. And it's Proverbs 28. So read the whole chapter again. We encourage you. But verse 9 is the one that I want to key in on. And that is the prayers of a person who ignores the law are despised. And I think what Solomon is going after here was something that he had been guilty of himself. And fortunately, he realized the error of his way. But I think that our tendency is, in any kind of religion, is to compartmentalize our faith, our relationship with Christ, and make it something that we put into our pocket and pull it out for church or when we're around church people. But genuine faith is a relationship with God that we maintain all the time. And so it intertwines with all of our relationships, all of our choices, everything that we do. And here he's saying that you can pretend to pray, but God even despises your prayer if you're not willing to keep the law. If you're not willing to do his will, to do what he wants, if you're not thinking about what God wants with the rest of your life, well, there's not like some holy church religious aspect of your life that makes everything else better. No, he is looking for people to pray who integrate the relationship they have with him into everything in life.
Yeah, you pray with a soft heart.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get to Karen, who's sitting right next to you, because we definitely want to talk to her for a second.
Right.
I will say it's a big national day today.
Okay.
You know what national day it is?
I have no clue.
It's your birthday.
Yeah, well, that's the national day.
Is Pastor Scott Ziegler Day.
Yeah, right.
no, you know, we just read in here it's to honor your leaders, and so I just wanted to say, Dad, I heard a guy say last week, he was at one of our functions as a church, had all our volunteers together, and he said, "Man, we were all laughing and just having fun." He's like, "My experience in church was growing up was just a lot of infighting when the church would get together, lots of dissension and conflict." And he said, "It was just so much fun to get together as a church and laugh and have fun and see this unity." And though that is God's blessing, and we'll say it's God using you, that we have a leader who walks toward the messes. We have a leader who has courage to say very difficult things. And so we are just very thankful for you. And so happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
And happy National Scott Ziegler Day.
Thank you. And we're also very happy to have Karen Oldway here. And I've been giving her a hard time. I've been calling her Oddway instead of Oldway. But Karen is really, she's really a sweet lady, and we've enjoyed her a lot. But I didn't even realize until after she introduced herself to me, boy, it was a while ago, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago, something like that. Karen was the news reporter in Madison, Wisconsin, when we were there raising our kids, actually. Junior, when you were young, she was the news reporter on the 6 o'clock news. And so Karen Oldway is here on the spot as a reporter to kind of fill us in a little bit on her experience on this trip.
So bringing me back to my other life.
Yeah, there we go.
A lifetime ago.
And what are you looking forward to? Because we still got, almost more than half our trip yet in front of us. What are you most looking forward to on this?
I would say the island of Patmos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, I get to go to Greece.
Yes,
in addition to, never been to a Greek island before. But more than that, going to the Cave of Revelation, where the Apostle John actually wrote the book of Revelation. And I've always been fascinated with that book and hoping God gives me a revelation of my own while there.
Yeah, awesome.
And the next chapter of his story.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the role I am to play in that in the coming years.
Well, that's cool. That is going to be that's going to be a great day. I'm looking forward to the Isle of Patmos myself.
Yeah.
And but really glad you came on this trip with us as well. And what's kind of cool about this is that we've got so many people that never knew each other before the trip, and there are all these bonds and relationships that are forming. And even when we do the trip to Israel, the same thing happens. People that didn't know each other before, now 4 years later, are still friends and hanging out with each other.
Yeah,
that's one of the side benefits of these tours.
Well, and you know, I try to hang out more toward the back, and you're toward the front.
Yeah.
You know, just so that we don't lose anybody. And I'm having deja vu because a few years ago I was with Joan, who is on our Bridge Kids.
Yeah.
Trying to get her through Israel, and now it's now I'm trying to get her through Turkey. And just hanging in the back with Junior is how it's been. So
well, Joan is one of those who she's curious about everything. And so even on the way back to the bus, she's looking around at everything, and
that's why
it's
kids
a lot
love
of fun.
Her. And yep. That's why kids love her.
Oh, she's one of the most beloved people in our church. That's absolutely.
Right. All right. Well, hey, make it a good Thursday today, and we will see you tomorrow.
God bless.